I've used this word information dissemination. Anyway, I'll give you a brief outline of what I'm going to be talking about. I'll talk about what is information dissemination, some applications, then talk about blind flooding and the broadcast storm, then briefly just some broadcast characteristics. Then I'll get on to some optimized flooding and some classifications of that, and talk about MPR, which is employed, or multi-point relaying, which is employed in OLSR routing. Then I'll talk about the work I did a little while back on neighbor-aware adaptive power flooding, some initial results, and just conclude. So what is information dissemination? In the Manet sense, it's the process of maximizing the availability of the Manet-centric information, either locally or globally, throughout the Manet. So basically, mechanisms really need to be able to balance both the requirements of applications, whether that information dissemination has to be periodic, reactive, or proactive, and also consider the constraints of devices as well as the Manet itself, and take into account things like power consumption, computation, and communication. Some applications, packet routing, the presentation I talked about yesterday, this is being used where he does the intrazone updates. He's been using this for that. Network management, resource discovery, zero start configuration, coordination, and I saw this picture, I think it's from one of the DARPA projects or something like that, or GLOMISM or somewhere, I can't remember where it came from, but that's where the coordination side of it comes in. Some people at my university are looking at that, and that all ties in with information dissemination. But in the Manet sense, doing it in Manet poses a significant problem. So just going on to blind flooding, you probably all know what that is. It's basically the simplest mechanism for information dissemination. You can call it broadcasting if you want. Basically, it works that if you receive a new packet and you haven't rebroadcast it before, then rebroadcast it, otherwise ignore it. Some characteristics of blind flooding. It chooses the shortest path, or every path in parallel. So it should provide the lowest latency for a complete flood, but that's not accounting collisions and back off and things like that. because you've got this high level of redundancy, it also ensures you've got some sort of survivability in the network. And in scenarios where you have a high level of mobility, that's probably the only mechanism that you can use for disseminating information, given the overheads. As far as per packet, there's no overhead. You don't have to include any additional information to tell nodes where you're flooding information, who you have flooded packet to, broadcast packets to. One of the problems of the broadcast, one of the problems of flooding, obviously, is the broadcast storm. And basically, the broadcast storm states that flooding in Manet introduces excessive overhead. And this is really in the form of redundant broadcasts, medium contention, and packet collisions. So in terms of redundant broadcasts, you can see nodes B and C there. There's really no reason for them to be rebroadcasting if they've received a packet from node A. So that's a redundant broadcast. You can also see the contention that happens if both nodes B and C receive that broadcast and they want to rebroadcast. They have to contend for the medium. Obviously, this is just amplified when you start having traffic in the network, or data traffic, as well as higher concentrations of nodes all wanting to contend for the medium. since 802.11 is carrier sensing, as you start increasing traffic and also the number of nodes in an area, your probability of having collisions increases too. So really the solution is an optimized flooding mechanism that minimizes redundant broadcasts, reduces medium contention, and hence packet collisions, and additionally reduces power consumption. So just some brief characteristics about broadcasting. Some people never seem to realize this. There's no RTS-CTS mechanism in broadcasting. There's also no acknowledgements. You suffer from things like the hidden node problem. That shouldn't really be collisions, more corruption of packets, or corrupted packets. You also, because there's no acknowledgements, there's possibility of losing your broadcast of packets. And again, because it's carrier sensing, backhaul causes problems in high concentrations of nodes, and that increases the latency when you're flooding. Also, another thing is when you do broadcast, all the surrounding nodes end up receiving that broadcast, and if you're running some sort of flooding mechanism, they obviously have to then process that packet, so that you end up consuming power. The other thing that we were talking about this morning was sometimes it's better to whisper than yell. So we sort of take that into account. Okay, just a quick classification. We've got broadcasting. We saw yesterday there's in broadcasting, there's a lot of people have done work with broadcast-friendly MAC protocols. Then there's also broadcast trees. We take sort of centralized approach. We have to have global information. And that has its uses, probably in mesh networks or in networks where there's not much mobility. Then there's also sort of hierarchical and cluster-based approaches, and then distributed approaches, which is what I'll be talking about. So in the distributed class, you have blind flooding. Then you have the probability-based models. Area-based models that use things like GPS and neighbor knowledge-based mechanisms. The probability-based ones, like the probabilistic method, really you assign a probability to a node saying whether it will rebroadcast or not. The problem with that is if you give it a low probability, your flood will probably never progress very far. If you assign it 100%, well, it's just like blind flooding. Counter-based, if you've heard a broadcast a certain number of times, the chances of you rebroadcasting it and providing additional coverage decreases. As far in the area-based mechanisms, the GPS, you have distance and location. Really, this is just looking at how much additional coverage you can provide to the node that you've heard the broadcast from. I've got NAP here, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the neighbor knowledge based systems, mechanisms, you end up looking at using one hop or two hop information. And that's normally, that's sort of one hop and two hop neighbor information is distributed in hello messages, or it could be some other sort of beacon or control packets. I'll just talk about MPR, right here, multipoint relay flooding, and then NAP. The reason why I put NAP in between the two is because at first when we were doing it, we measured signal strength, but when we did some real tests, a small test bed, we found that signal strength's really, you can move 1 meter and your signal strength changed dramatically. So it wasn't really a good measure. The system was meant to be used outdoors anyway, so using GPS was a viable alternative. Self-pruning and neighbor coverage, that's really just looking at, I know who my neighbors are, I know who your neighbors are. If you send me a broadcast, if I don't provide any additional coverage, I don't rebroadcast. Dominant pruning is really just a heuristic for solving a greedy set cover algorithm. One interesting one is the lightweight and efficient network-wide broadcasting, which is each node does some sort of implicit deduction based on its knowledge of other nodes and who they would have broadcast to. But there's no additional overhead besides exchanging one and two hop information in hello messages. Okay, so multipoint relay flooding. Basically, it's a distributed flooding mechanism employed in optimized link state routing. It aims to reduce redundant transmissions. And retransmitters are limited to a minimal set of neighboring nodes. And those are called MPRs, or multipoint relays. The MPRs are one-hop nodes that provide the largest cover of a set of two-hop nodes. And the MPRs are basically selected independent of other nodes. One problem with this is that it's NP-complete, which is why people have proposed a few heuristics. And the one I've used is the one that the OLSR people proposed. Okay, I won't go into how it works because I think someone did that yesterday. So. So basically, with multipoint, with NPR, you have fewer broadcasts, therefore it solves much of the broadcast storm problem. But really, how effectively does it limit duplicate packet reception, which sort of equates to contention and the sort of collision problems? Another thing is also you're using full power broadcast. So when you do that, the previous NPR always receives a packet that it's just sent to you. So it has to process that packet. Also, when you have co-located NPRs and the two hop nodes, those two hop nodes sometimes receive duplicate packets. So you want to try and limit that. And again, because of the propagation or transmission power being proportional to the square of the distance, you want to try and limit transmission power. So basically, NPR is not really neighbor aware. It doesn't scale its broadcast power to limit contention, collisions, or duplicate packet reception. So in a sense, in situations where you have a high concentration of nodes, it's not really scalable. So we sort of came up with this. We decided to use a few different techniques just to see what would happen. We came up with a NAT, and it's really just a distributed neighbor / GPS-based mechanism that aims to minimize the broadcast storm problem associated with flooding and, again, reduce overall power consumption per flood. And how does it do it? Well, I've already talked about using neighbor coverage. That sort of seems to be the basic thing to do in any sort of mechanism. Next, it's neighbor aware. So basically, nodes that are assigned as an optimized set of nodes that will continue a flood are aware of other nodes that might be close to them or that they're co-located with, and they're aware of their neighbors as well. Because obviously they're neighbors, so they know what their neighbors are. So they can adjust their broadcast power to take account of what those nodes, or to take account of the two hop set, the two hop nodes that those nodes would be broadcasting to. We also do some local optimization. That's really just substituting one large broadcast with two smaller broadcasts, or even more. Lastly, the broadcast power control, which makes most of that possible. So just to show you how the neighbor awareness works, you've got a node Z that's initiated a broadcast. It's received by nodes A and B. A and B are obviously aware of each other's neighbors. B scales its broadcast to include neighbors that are closest to it, but it leaves neighbors like node F, which are actually closer to node A. And that seems to work very well. The other thing is the local optimization. Just here, rather than doing one large broadcast, you just introduce smaller broadcasts, and you end up limiting contention for the medium and overlapping of signals. And the same goes for the neighbor awareness, where if you've done two large broadcasts, you can basically see the amount of other nodes that you would have affected and the contention that would have happened. And just below is the example of neighbor coverage. Okay, so we did a simulation where we used a simple first order radio model to calculate power consumption. And basically, it consists of the power to transmit a packet is the energy required to run the electrical circuits times the number of bits that you're going to be sending, plus the energy required to operate the amplifier to transmit a certain number of k bits, a distance squared. Okay, I've also, in this, I've added a penalty for processing. I think that sort of correlates to what was being talked about this morning. Unfortunately, I found it really difficult to find a measure for how much processing, how much power processing consumes, because that sort of seems to be all over the place. So I don't even know if that measure is really accurate. It's sort of a feeling that I've sort of gotten from reading various bits and pieces. For receiving a packet, obviously the power consumed is ELEC times the number of bits, plus obviously you have to do some processing. Okay. So from this you can see that transmissions really, doing more transmissions is obviously a bit, is more expensive than receiving packets. Anyway, I'll talk about that a little bit later. We also assume a null modem scenario, so there's no collisions, no contention, no hidden node problems. We sort of divide events into epochs, and during an epoch, you sort of assume that a packet will have been transmitted to the next node. Also, during a broadcast, the network topology is stationary. Naturally, if you look at the size of the number of hops and the propagation delay, how far do nodes really move? I know it can play a role, which is why I really have to look at scenarios where there is mobility, but just for initially it was just to see how well the ideas work without getting too complicated. In the paper there's an error. I've written 1,000 meters squared. It's really 1,000 by 1,000 meters for the simulation area, and the broadcast range is 100 meters. This is just I didn't know if this would show up because it didn't show up on the projector I used at my uni. But you can sort of see blind flooding, NPR, and NAP, and the progression of a flood through the network. I'll get to the final picture, I'll skip that. Actually, one interesting thing you can see is you can see the sort of effect of when you are doing these full power broadcasts, how many nodes are actually affected during a broadcast, as opposed to NAP, where there's where you really reduce that amount of interference that you provide to other nodes. I think I've got another slide here, which here you can really see the whole picture. So you've got blind flooding down here, which really looks like a complete mess. You've got NPR, and you can see that every time you're doing a broadcast, you're affecting other, you're basically having to contend with other NPRs sometimes. Whereas in NAP, that's basically minimized because you are reducing your transmission power. So just to look at some results, obviously the number of duplicate packets received with blind flooding is very large. With NPR, as the concentration increases, and that is quite a high concentration at 600 nodes, you're roughly getting twice as many duplicate packets as you do with NAP. And one thing about receiving duplicate packets, it sort of loosely correlates to having to contend for the medium, as well as you can see, obviously, if you're having to process all these packets that you received, you're going to be using much more power, or battery power. This is just the average power consumed per node, joules versus number of nodes. And again, you can see NPR consumes a lot more power than NAP. And obviously blind flooding consumes the most. Here's just the latency, and really this was just to see that that what I was doing was actually working. But blind flooding and NPR, obviously, given the design of the simulation, would have roughly the same latency. Whereas NAP, because it introduces additional hops, will obviously introduce additional delays. Okay. But in a real situation where you don't have to contend for the median, that would obviously drop quite significantly. Well, I hope so. But I'll find that out when I end up doing it, when I start doing the tests in Clomathon. The bad side of it is, or the way I did it just before this paper, was I actually included not just the optimized set of information, but also all the nodes that would actually receive a broadcast. And that's one problem when you start trying to do this sort of limiting broadcast power with NPR and some of these other mechanisms, is that you've got no way of telling telling them what nodes have received a broadcast. And especially when you start dropping your broadcast power down quite a lot, things start feeding in on themselves, or the broadcast feeds in on itself, and it gets a bit, it can be problematic. One way to actually reduce this overhead, and it's very simply, is just to do some implicit deduction about the neighbors of your the previous broadcaster or the previous optimized node. So you can basically determine who would have received the packets, and you don't actually have to include that overhead. And when you do that, that overhead actually drops right down. I didn't have a chance to actually get that out before when I came here. Here you can see the number of obviously introducing additional transmissions, additional hops. So there's more nodes transmitting, that sort of shows the scenario of MPR. There's fewer nodes doing transmission, but when you start looking at the amount of power that's actually consumed, because you're introducing more transmissions, you are in a sense using more power. But because you're not having to, you don't have this protocol, the energy associated with processing. NAP still comes out ahead of MPR. But again, consuming power isn't the ultimate thing here. It's really just reducing contention and trying to solve some of the broadcast storm problems. So just to conclude, we've introduced NAP, an optimized flooding mechanism that makes use of neighbor coverage, neighbor awareness, power control, and local optimization. NAP shows significant improvements with increasing node concentrations in terms of duplicate packets and power consumption per completed broadcast. Currently I've been implementing NAP in GlomaSim along with some other stuff to really see what happens when you have a somewhat more realistic MAC layer and also mobility. That was almost finished. And again, just the mechanisms for reducing overhead. Something I need to put in there. Okay, thank you.